Do you see yourself up there? So if you're at all like me, you seem to consistently end up in the slowest checkout line. Yeah. The one that calls for price checks. Yeah. Or behind the person with a month's worth of coupons to redeem. Or somebody paying with their coin collection. Yeah. It seems inevitable that this will happen when I'm in a hurry. Yeah, you too. So how many hours of our lives would you estimate are spent waiting in line? Waiting for popcorn at the theater, or to return a holiday gift purchase. I made the mistake of going to the Bay on the 27th. Waiting for a Starbucks almond milk frappuccino. Take some time. Or where I have found myself all too frequently is Manitoba's version of the Department of Motor Vehicles. The dreaded black hole of the MPI, they call it. Waiting, waiting, getting impatient. Have you also, like me, sometimes lifted your glazed, unfocused expression to look up maybe past the screen of your iPhone, to be part of the world around you as you wait? Who here hasn't secretly read a headline about Harry and Meghan recently? Right? Or even picked up the magazine to read to see, are they really going to move to Canada? Yeah? Have you noticed that time goes by much more quickly when you start playing peekaboo with the baby in the cart in front of you? Or striking up a conversation with the guy behind you about his curious collection of assorted food groups? What are you going to do with those Cheetos and peanut butter? You can have these conversations just by joining the world around you as you wait. Maybe even looking up to find the familiar face of an old school friend or work colleague. What a treat. What a surprise. People are not where you expect them to be. These random faces popping up into your life where they don't belong. Such a pleasant surprise. Rather than mentally projecting myself that 20 minutes into the future when I've already gotten my groceries into the car and arrived at the next place I have to be to get on to doing the next thing, I'm trying to practice slowing down and staying in the moment, wherever and whenever that is, to simply be there, then. To meet the eyes of the cashier and smile and ask, how are you doing today? Like I mean it. Not the, how are ya? I'm good. I want to know how her day's really going. And when I say thank you, I want her to feel that I mean it. Thank you. Because I'm still looking at her eyes. And not having grabbed my bags and already heading off. Yeah, thanks. Because we just do that. Because we're already in the next place and we're not where we are. So I'm tired. I'm tired of being in so much of a rush to be somewhere else that I don't appreciate where I am and who is right in front of me. Because you know what? That's where I spend a lot of my time. And I know that you do too. In between the places. Waiting. In that waiting place. Dr. Seuss, his real name was Theodore Geisel, and he used the pseudonym Seuss, which was his middle name, because he was waiting until he possessed the talent and experience necessary to write, as he put it, the next great American novel. Now, that novel never materialized, and instead Geisel spent his life writing some of the most popular and significant children's books in history. It would be hard to call his career anything but an incredible success. But he was always waiting, waiting for himself to become a serious writer. So he didn't see where he already was and the value that he was giving to all of us. The waiting place. Waiting for the red light to change, for the winter to end, for the new job to begin, to call the congregation's next minister, for the new baby to be born, for the financial strain to ease, for the fighting to stop and the relationship to mend, for an apology, for forgiveness, waiting to be healthy again, waiting to feel happy, maybe to be seen for who you are, waiting for our lives to start. This is the ebb and flow tide of being alive. Although tides tend to be predictable, our lives, yeah, not so much. Things don't always go according to plan. I'm not actually supposed to be here. Nope. I had another plan. But you know what they say about plans? People plan, God laughs. Yeah? Or life is what happens while we're making other plans. So last April, I was offered a ministry position in Fairfax, Virginia. I am so excited. We filed the visa paperwork in June, and I packed up my Swiss life into shipping boxes and came over to Canada to visit family in Winnipeg while waiting for a green light from the U.S. immigration authorities. Well, the visa paperwork, it hit a snag and had to start the process over. I'm doing deep breathing exercises as I stand here. So I'm still here. And all my things are still in crates overseas. And this place, this limbo, is stretching through a really cold winter that I was not prepared for. And there's no end in sight. It's with the immigration gods, right? But this is not lost time. It's not lost at all. It is just waiting time. And this is my life. And I am embracing the wonderful little opportunities that arise for what they are right in front of me. Little jewels that I would have missed if I hadn't looked up and focused on what was in front of me, instead of what might lie at the end of that immigration tunnel, which would be right next to Washington, D.C., when I think about that more clearly. The other side of that door is not where I am. I'm here, and this is great. What a gift it has been these last few months to spend precious time with my family, with my mother and my brother. Time is so different than when I visit in the summer and it's a holiday. Now we can actually get under each other's skin now. I'm here long enough to really feel part of things. things. And that is a gift. It's a gift. And it's so different. And I'm finding that Winnipeg, it was my childhood home. It still is. And I'm finding that there are very, very few things in those shipping crates that I miss or need. It's just stuff. I have what I need. I had to buy winter boots. Life is what happens in the moment you are in this very moment, where I am right now, not where I thought I should be. What a blessing it is to be here with all of you. Here, right now, I really am with all of you. Thank you. But it's not that simple. It's not about making lemonade with the lemons that roll our way. I'm talking about being truly present and open to what comes. It's about daring to live life fully, choosing how we react and how we act. It's about taking control, but also, and even more importantly, it's about letting go. Right? Does that make sense? It's about letting go of expected outcomes, of where we think we should be. Letting go of things that maybe we want to hold on to, but we know we should not. Marilisa Fabrega, if I'm saying that correctly, she has a blog that I stumbled across called Daring to Live Fully. And in response to Dr. Seuss's book, she's made a list of 30 ways to get out of the waiting place. I'm not going to read all 30, but there were some I thought you'd appreciate. She offers some helpful, practical, and encouraging suggestions for getting unstuck in order to continue our journeys, to celebrate new beginnings and possibilities. We can only do that when we move forward. So one of her suggestions, she says, are you waiting for the phone to ring? Ask yourself who can give you what to need and call them. Are you waiting for it to be warm again before you start exercising? Yes. Yeah. Start walking in place in front of the TV and try holding a plank position through the commercials. You'll be warm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Are you waiting to get a raise before you start saving money because it's just too tight? Pull aside every loony that comes across your path, put it in a bag, and forget about it till the end of the year. Before you know it, you'll have a nice little nest egg set aside, big heavy one. Are you waiting until you're not scared anymore? Start building your courage muscles. I like that phrase. She says, your courage muscles by doing something small that scares you, like talk to the stranger, or pitch an idea during the weekly office meeting. Speak up for yourself. Go to the movies alone. She asks, are you waiting for life to get interesting? Yeah, I like this one too. Read a book, she says. Start a blog. Go for a walk. Take a trip. Start a new project. Take a class. Give yourself a 30-day challenge. Pick a topic and learn more about it. Make yourself more interesting. Are you waiting to make a choice? Flip a coin. Whoa, that actually kind of blew my mind. Flip a coin. No, this is important. But you know, if you flip a coin and you called heads or tails, you're going to know if it's right or wrong. Am I right? Like, oh, no. Well, there's your answer. Flip a coin. Are you waiting for someone else to guess what you need? Well, tell them. Just tell them what you need. Are you waiting for a second chance? Marilisa says to start planning your comeback. Just plan it. Are you waiting until you know what to do? Ask yourself, what would Princess Leia do? Even if you're a man. And then go do it, and may the force be with you. Yeah? Are you waiting for someone to give you permission? Give yourself permission. And for me, and this is where I'll end the list, you'll have to find her blog. Oh, there's some good ones. But for me, this give yourselves permission is really the key to it all. Permission to fully live our lives, to choose to embody and experience and claim each moment. The Buddhist Zen master Thich Nhat Hanh, he taught the world about the practice of mindfulness. He wrote, "Each minute we spend worrying about the future and regretting the past is a minute we miss in our appointment with life. A missed opportunity to engage life and to see that each moment gives us the chance to change for the better, to experience peace and joy." Mindfulness trainings. Anyone here familiar with mindfulness trainings? They're based on Buddhist precepts. They are universal practices of compassion and understanding. And it's the practice of it that offers a framework to reflect on our actions, our speech, and thinking. How we frame our thinking, so that we can create more happiness and compassion for ourselves and for the world around us to alleviate suffering and harm. Now, as a Unitarian Universalist, this spiritual practice really resonates with me. With mindfulness, we are aware more of what is going on in our bodies and in our feelings and in our minds and the world. And we avoid, through this practice, doing harm to ourselves and to others. Mindfulness protects us and our families and our society. When we are mindful, we can see that by refraining from doing something, we can prevent another thing from happening. We meet the world more calm and concentrated and open and present. I've recently, like just last week, begun working as a hospital chaplain in Winnipeg with people who are facing major change and loss and uncertainty. All are waiting for what comes next, whether to get better and go home or to face the inevitability of death. But this waiting is not empty time. It is significant, with poignant moments of intention and clarity, of love and healing and letting go and courage, strength, fears, transformation. Nobody leaves the hospital unchanged. It is a blessing and a privilege beyond words to be present, truly present in these moments of grace. There is nowhere else I should be when I'm there. But it's not a place I had chosen to be. But somehow it is the work that I need to be doing. The places we end up are not always the ones we would choose. Far from what we imagine to be our true destination. In the Hebrew scriptures, Moses led the Israelites into the wilderness. They'd left behind the bonds of slavery, and there they were, wandering and waiting and waiting and waiting. 40 years they wandered until they could finally head to the promised lands. But these years were not wasted. They were foundational. They solidified who these people truly were after coming out of a completely different life and culture and existence and way of being with one another. They had new laws that they would live by, and they figured out how they would be in community together, and they learned, and they made mistakes, and they developed confidence, and they left behind fear. Fear of slavery, fear of not being good enough, fear of not knowing who they were. 40 years until they were ready to move forward. And it wasn't easy, but it was a new start, and they were transformed. And through the wilderness, they became who they needed to be, and they ended up where they needed to be. My colleague, Reverend Meg Riley, she writes, "There are thresholds we cross which are desired and yet still terrifying, chosen and yet still dreaded, ending a relationship that is diminishing us, but still being terrified of who we are without it, facing an addiction and committing ourselves to living without it. Leaving a job we hate to dare to try something new. Moving to a new place. Even though we have chosen it, we may still feel as if we are standing in an airplane doorway, looking out in terror at the groundlessness before us, trying to summon the strength to take the step we know we want to take over that threshold. But to do so means letting go of what has been and embracing a new life. And it takes all of our spiritual strength." So Meg says what she tries to remember to do when crossing a threshold to the unknown. And when she finds herself filling in the vast space with small terrors, she says, "I remind myself to fill it instead with love. Fill the fear with love." I recently met a woman whose son is in prison. He was arrested for selling drugs. And the direction of many people's lives changed the day that he was charged. And now, while he and his family wait for his release, they are transforming, being present for each other in different ways, and learning and growing and forgiving and letting go, and preparing to move into a new place as different people, bound by compassion and love. None of this was part of anyone's plan. None of it. The truth is that we don't often know what is right ahead of us, whether a day will bring agony or ecstasy or something in between. We can't control many, many factors, but we can practice. We can practice drawing on love rather than fear as we face into the unknown. We can trust that our love and our longing, whether our hopes are realized or unrealized, is itself a blessing given to us. May we dare to allow the blessings of life into those places where we wait. May we dare to raise our eyes and greet life fully, with mindfulness, with love, and with patience.